The following story was contained inside of a track called The Theater and Its Destructive Influences by William S. Plummer from the year 1837, a true narrative from a physician's diary. The last time I beheld my once cheerful and amiable friend was in the medical ward of the poorhouse, lingering on the confines of eternity, stretched upon a straw pallet, with the coarsest covering for his head, deserted and alone, no sympathizing friend to soothe his dying anguish, no kind voice to solace the last moments of his sad and melancholy existence. A little board suspended against a wall above his bed, on which was written, with a piece of chalk, the sufferer's name, and characters scarcely intelligible, led to his recognition. I paused and looked with a melancholy earnestness on the emaciated and death-like features of the dying man, but could not discover a single trace of his once manly countenance. I exerted my imagination to the utmost to bring to recollection some little incident of our early intimacy with which I could associate the features of the once loved companion of my youth and those of the ghastly object that lay before me now. But I could not. Even the faintest trace of what he appeared to be was lost. Could I be mistaken? Oh, that I had been! I reluctantly drew near his bed, and in a trembling voice ventured to call the fluttering spirit of the dying man back to this world. I called him by a familiar title. He didn't understand. He seemed insensible as death, until I gently shook him. He opened his eyes, started up, and gave me a wild look. For a moment then, his eyelids gradually closed. His forehead contracted, and he slunk away into his stupor, as if he knew me, for the instant, and from remorse of conscience would avoid all remembrance of early days. What a sad reverse was exhibited in this awful spectacle. In his youth he was the gayest of the gay, the favored child of favored parents. He was indulged to a fault. His every desire was gratified. He grew a handsome boy, polite and easy in his manners, gentle and amiable in his disposition. At school, we all loved him, and in the innocent sports of the playground, he was a ringleader. He was always our choice. When the time came for his leaving school and engaging in mercantile business, he mingled with new associates. Early in life, he centered his affections upon a lovely girl of his own age. They were united in marriage, and for a time, never was there a happier couple. But alas, the allurements of company, the theater, the ballroom, and the tavern, proved temptations too powerful for his unsuspecting heart. The consequences are soon told. Driven from business, excluded from virtuous society, divorced from his broken-hearted wife, deserted by all his friends, he became an outcast and a beggar. Oh, methought, while I stood over his dying body, if he had the ability to speak and the inclination to communicate, he would address me in some language as this: "Beware of the theater. It first led me in youth, and I was easily led into immoral indulgences. It is no difficult task to trace a primary step of my destruction to the lobbies of the theater and its infatuation connections, the bar and the coffee room. There I spent my evenings. Shakespeare and the British theater became my only reading, actors and actresses my only associates. The tavern, the oyster house, and houses of pleasure finally drew me into their destructive labyrinths. I strove to avoid the earthly hell, but I saw myself plunging into, but its fatal chains were riveted too fast, too strong upon my poor soul. I attempted to plead with myself the innocency of my indulged pleasures. It was the gratification of a harmless desire that induced me for the first time to cross the threshold of the theater. It would not do. I could not allay the pangs of an already wounded conscience. Well do I remember when the curtain rose for the first time to my astonished view, how my heart bounded for joy as I viewed the rich and dazzling scenery and drank in the deceitful representations of the actors. The play was a road to ruin, a true semblance of my future destiny. But little did I then think that I had taken the first step towards consequences fraught with my eternal destruction. The glittering attractions of the stage soon drew me there again, and too soon did I become infatuated with its seductive charms. One fatal step led on to another until I found myself sliding rapidly down the steep abyss of ruin. I procured a little restorative from the distant nurse of the ward, aroused for a moment in the struggling effort to swallow the dying man from what appeared to be a sleep of death. I again called him by his own familiar name. He again, and for the last time in this world, looked at me, but oh, it was a fearful look. Even a deep, dawn, deathly sigh, he put out his emaciated and cold hand and attempted to speak. His voice failed him. He recovered himself and made a second effort. It was a desperate one. Oh, W, calling me by my name, the theater, the first fruits of my transgression, is sending my poor lost soul to hell. Oh, admonish the young, he would have said, but his utterance and his breath were simultaneously interrupted by the death gurgle. After several ineffectual attempts to breathe freely, during which he firmly yet insensibly grasped my hand, he gave one long gasp and was no more. His unfettered spirit had forsaken its earthly tenement and fled to regions beyond the grave. W.J., physician.